Bless you this evening. Let's just pray. Lord Jesus, we're grateful that we could come again tonight, Lord Jesus, and gather with believers. Father, just the atmosphere and to get away from the world and all the things that cling to us and play on our minds and all the deceptions and obstructions, Lord, it's good to come aside, Lord, where you can have your way and you can speak and tell us your thoughts toward us, Lord Jesus. So we thank you for this opportunity, Lord. I ask that you would feel free to speak. Feel free to have your way among us. Lord Jesus, help each one hear the voice of God speak to them tonight. Be encouraged and be a stronger faith, more of a believer when we leave than we are now, Lord Jesus. Meet all our needs, Father. I ask this in your name. Amen. If you want to turn, I'm going to read out of Romans 1. We're going to read Romans 1, 16 and 17. And it says, "For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first and also to the Greek. For therein is the righteousness of God revealed, from faith to faith, as it is written, the just shall live by faith." You may be seated. Second Corinthians verse 3. Is this thing too? Is it? It's fine. Okay. Second Corinthians chapter 3, verse 17. "Now the Lord is that Spirit, and where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. But we all, with open face, beholding as in a glass the glory of the Lord, are changed into the same image from glory to glory, even as by the Spirit of the Lord." All right, so what I'm going to talk about tonight, it said over here in Romans, it said, "For therein, the gospel, and in the gospel, is the righteousness of God revealed from faith to faith, as it is written, the just shall live by faith." So we want to know what is the righteousness of God and how to get it, because we recognize that if we're not righteous, we're not going to heaven, right? It's only heaven is for righteous people. And so what we want to do, it says, it's revealed, the righteousness is revealed faith by faith, from faith to faith, and we recognize faith is a revelation. We have faith because it's been revealed to us, the Word of God to us, and that revelation of God's Word for us, what His will is for us and what He wants to tell us, we believe that, and that is faith. And that's what makes us righteous. Why was Abraham righteous? Because God spoke to him and he believed what God said. It really is that simple. Now, if he believed what God said, then he would also do what God told him to do. Because if you say, "Well, I believe the message," but you don't do what the message says to do, you don't really believe the message, right? Now, you can take the message and the law and the rules and everything and do that and still not be a believer, because unless it's revealed to you by God, then it's just you're just being educated, you're just following rules, and that's just a religion, which is what most religions in this world, in the world are, is you just follow the rules of the religion, and that makes you a believer in that religion. That's not the way God does it. God says, "I want an individual relationship with you, and I'm going to speak to you individually." And that's what makes you a believer, when you believe what I tell you as a person. See, he doesn't come and reveal everything to the church at the same time. That's the denominational approach to religion. We all believe this doctrine. We all follow these rules. We all do this, and that makes us Baptist or Catholic or Buddhist or Muslim or whatever it is. But for message believers, and most, let's be honest, most message believers believe it that way too. We believe what the preacher preaches, that makes us a believer, we're good to go. That's not the way God does it. He wants you as an individual. It's you as an individual, and God comes and reveals his word to you as an individual, and you hear that as an individual, and you believe it as an individual. He says, oh, I got one here, I got one here, I got one here. Now, when we all come together, that's wonderful. But if there's only one person who's a believer in here, God says, I still got myself, my person right here, because Brother Brandon said he's looking for one person he can get a hold of, just one person who he can express himself through. And then when he can find one person to express it, then all of a sudden that someone else sees that and they see that and it starts them thirsting for that and they seek God for it and then their fire gets lit and then someone else, their fire gets lit. And that's how it goes from person to person. The seed goes through the body and it's got to be the body ministry bringing the body to life. But it's an individual walk. It's just you and God. You have to know for yourself. You can't go on someone else's revelation. You say, well, Brother Jerry has so much revelation. He knows so much more about God. And that's true and that's wonderful. But what about you? You have to know what God wants you to know, what God wants to reveal to you and what he wants you to do. And you need to get a hold of God yourself. And if there's a thirst in you to get a hold of God, then please go to that thirst and don't let something else satisfy that. That's what Satan does. He gives us substitutes like religion. He gives us substitutes like, well, you're a believer. You had the baptism of the Holy Ghost. Well, you're a believer. You've had this experience. Can I say something? You know, Brother Branham tells us, and it's very true, you need to have an experience with God yourself. We all need an experience with God. But you know what I think a lot of message believers do is they have a filter. We filter everything through our own mind. And when we hear the word experience, we say sensation. And we think we had to have some kind of sensation. We had to feel some kind of baptism. We had to feel some kind of emotion or something like that, some kind of anointing. We had to feel something. Experience and sensation are not the same thing. I can sit in my house, look out the window, and watch a beautiful sunset. I'm experiencing a sunset. Didn't feel it at all. I can sit down and have a conversation with Brother Will and never touch him. He never touched me. We had an experience. That was an experience, that conversation. Brother Branham said this. He said, don't never rely on a sensation. And yet so many people do. You can go online and see testimonies. Oh, I just felt the anointing. It just came inside of me. That's wonderful. There's nothing like it. But there's no evidence that you're saved, that you're born again, just because you had that sensation. It doesn't mean anything. What happens is we get addicted to the sensations, and when they go away, we go away from church. Because our faith becomes lodged in that sensation instead of the word. It's an individual walk. Let me tell you, I was listening to this tape. It says, Looking Unto Jesus. And Brother Brown was talking about when people looked to Jesus, who they saw. He named a bunch of people. I'm going to go through this real quick, and you've heard him say this many times. He said when Isaiah looked, he saw one who was the counselor, the Prince of Peace, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father. That's who Isaiah saw. And now a lot of these prophets, they saw him as a prophecy, and they gave the prophecy. Why? So that when that word came to pass, the people who were living during that time would recognize the word coming to pass was Christ. That's what's happened in our age. We had a prophet come, we know it's true, but he gave us a message, and in that message it tells us what's supposed to be happening. So when it happens around us, we recognize it and we say, Christ is still alive and well today. Daniel said, I saw a stone hewed out of the mountain without hands that rolled into the kingdom of the earth and broke them to pieces. That's what Daniel saw. Nebuchadnezzar, he said, I looked into the furnace. He saw a fourth man who looked like the Son of God. Ezekiel said, I saw a wheel in the middle of the wheel turning up in the middle of the air. John saw a man come walking towards him. The word had become flesh. Moses, he saw a pillar of fire. Noah saw a judgment coming. All these different men, they saw Christ. They looked to Christ, and this is what they saw. And I was listening to that, and I said, yeah, I've heard all this before, and something struck my mind. Everyone saw something different. None of them saw him the same way. And I thought, that's exactly the way it is with you and me, because when I look to Christ, I'm going to see him the way he reveals himself to me. And when you look to Christ, you're going to see him the way he reveals himself to you. So don't be looking for the same experience someone else has. Have your own experience. If I ever find a woman who would be dumb enough to marry me, I don't want to fall in love with her the way that you fell in love with your wife or you with your wife. I want my own experience. That makes sense? That's the way it is with God. He says, I have an individual love affair with you. So we try to, this is the experience Brother Branham had, or this is the experience this brother had, or this sister. I want it like that. I want to know for sure it's like because they had it the same as they did. No, it's not that way. How does he reveal himself to you? You have your own story, your own testimony. We all want to see Christ, right? Where are you looking for him? The revelation from faith to faith, from glory to glory. What did he say? He said, we look in a glass darkly. That's a mirror, right? Let's talk about that mirror a little bit. Brother Branham told that story you've heard 1,000 times. A little boy, he had never seen himself in a mirror. He runs up there, mirror, he looks at it, he recognizes, that's me. He said, that's what we need to do. This book here is the mirror we need to look in, and we need to see ourselves in there, manifesting the word for our day, right? Now, Brother Branham said this. He said, after the seals opened, the Bible became a new book for him. The mirror became new. Maybe it was a little frosty before and had to be wiped off, and all of a sudden he could see himself more clearly. That's the same thing you and I must do, brother and sister. We got to get this Bible. It has to become a new book for you. And the way it does it is as God reveals it to you, step by step, faith by faith, glory to glory, little by little. And the thing that throws us some time is because it is so little. And it's so simple. And we think, how can it be this simple? How can this really be God, the bride in this day doing all this stuff? Because I see this and I know it's got to be Christ, but it's got to be something greater than this. We're the final age, the final bride, ready to go in a rapture, getting there. And this is just so little here and a little bit here and a little bit there. And that's the way God does it. Do you believe? He's just saying, do you believe? That's all he's asking. We have to see clearly. And we always say, well, we're all born again. I hope we're all born again in here. I'm going to say we are. And we're getting ready for the rapture. He said, we're just waiting for the rapture. But brother and sister, the reality is we're not ready for the rapture. But we know who we are. Brother Brad said, when the bride knows who she is, then she go. But we know who we are. So what are we waiting on? What does it take? It takes a more surrendered life so we get more revelation, the more revelation of who Christ is. And here's the thing we have to understand, folks, is when you're looking at Christ, you need to look in the mirror. Do we really realize that when we see Christ, the first place, the most important place you have to see him is in the mirror? If you don't see him in yourself, you're not going anywhere when the rapture comes. Because this is where Christ is supposed to be manifesting, in his bride. There's not going to be some ministry stand up like Brother Branham or something who are all going to look, oh, there's Christ working through this ministry. That's not for our age. Our age is a secret. The manifestation of Christ in this age is going to be a secret. What happened? He said, when the seventh seal was open, silence. Shh. Why? So you don't give it away? Until the bride has risen up and she becomes strong enough and she recognizes who she is. He said, well, we recognize who we are. It's like this. Let's say you just bought a house. And you go up there and you bought it in Nashville. You don't have time to go and look at the house. You got to put a bid down before you actually go and see it. So you've seen a picture of the house and you put a bid down and you bought it. So you show up and your realtor is there and you see this house and you're looking at it and it's a big white siding house with black shutters, and it's got this wraparound porch. It's got this neat little walkway out there. You say, man, I'm a homeowner. Look at this beautiful house. I'm home. And the realtor says, well, why don't you walk around and look at what it looks like? Oh, yeah. So you walk to this side. Oh, my goodness. Look at this side. Look at the bay windows. Oh, my goodness. There's a nice little garden over here. You walk around the back, and there's a barbecue, and there's a pool, and there's a deck, and you're just thrilled. My goodness, this is beautiful. I got a house. Your realtor says, don't you want to go inside? And you go inside, and you're just amazed. Look at all this stuff. It's still not home. You don't even live there yet. That's the way it is with the Word, folks. We're Christians, and we see the Word, and it's amazing. We're looking around, but there's so much more that he wants to reveal through us if we would just allow him to do it. I'm speaking for myself. I don't know how you are in the how God's dealing with you, but I'll tell you right now, in the last several months, God is letting me know that he said, I need more out of you. You don't want more religion. You don't want me being like, oh, I'm going to be a better Christian. He wants a more surrendered life so he can reveal himself to me, so I can see him in me more. because there's some rooms in there that he's still not occupied. Make sense? He wants it all. And if I want to go in the rapture, I'm going to give it all. Now, you know what? I know this. I know what he wants. But you know what? I'll tell you what I used to would have done in that situation. I said, well, I'm going to pray 3 hours a day. I'm going to read this much. I'm going to do this. And I would have set up this. I'm going to be so religious. I'm going to be so dedicated to God. And you know what he does with that? Sorry, I didn't ask for that. He didn't say, get more religious, Phil. Just surrender yourself to me. And you know what I have to do instead? I said, I'm going to walk by faith. God, I know what you put on my heart, what you want from me. And by faith, I'm going to walk into it. And you know what he does then? He takes away the desire. You know what? Don't get on YouTube and look up that, whatever you're going to. Why don't you go over here and pray instead? And it's not me doing it, it's him doing it. He takes away my desire. You know, you could read that book, but why don't you listen to this tape instead? Why don't you go and pray? Why don't you call this person instead of me just doing what I want to do to kind of fill up my time? He takes my time. And I can do that on my own, but he don't accept it. But when he leads me to it, then it's accepted. We need to see Christ in the mirror. So when you look for Christ, what are you looking for? When you look to see him, let's talk about this a little bit. He said, people look at the word literally, and that's the way you're supposed to look at it. But it declares itself both literally and spiritually. So many people, I'm just calling out a city, Jeffersonville, Indiana. You can go to Jeffersonville, Indiana, you can find tons of message believers. And their testimony is, I believe the message is true. I believe everything the prophet said is true. That makes me a believer. That doesn't make you a believer. Because Paul tells us that the letter killeth, but the spirit giveth life. And just believing what the prophet said, that's just the letter. It doesn't do you a whole lot of good. He said, the spirit makes the word to live to the promise. In other words, it's a seed. The spirit gives us life, gives it life. It unctionizes it. It gives it its go. Like the rain gives to the seed that's buried in the ground, it brings forth life. So what he's saying is you have the word, but if you don't have the spirit with the word, it's not doing you very much good. And the spirit takes the word and reveals it to you and interprets it and brings it to pass through you. And then you see, well, that's the word for this day, and that's Christ. Now, there is word for every age, the same word, certain word for every age. For example, Mark 16. These signs shall follow them that believe. In my name they shall cast out devils. You know all that, right? Right? And I believe one person, Brother Branham, said, those are the general orders. You must follow those general orders. Everyone, to be a believer, you must have those general orders. You're following them, right? But let me tell you what general orders are. When I was in the Marine Corps, we had 10 general orders. And those general orders is what was in effect anytime you were on duty. All right? You had to follow the general orders. If you didn't, you could be charged with dereliction of duty, whatever. There was these 10 general orders. But now when you were on a mission, you had a further set of orders to follow to carry out that mission. Those general orders were still in effect, but you had more that you had to do. That's the way it is. All the way down through the ages, these signs shall follow the believers. But now in each age, there's also a certain amount of word that was spoken for that age that the believers had to fulfill in that age. We're no different. And if all we have is the general orders, we're not following the mission for our age. We are not fulfilling the word. We do not have Christ. That's why you can go to all kinds of churches and they raise the dead and they heal the sick and they cast out devils and do all these things. And they don't even have to be a message church to do those things. Get online and look it up. You see it all over the place. People totally reject the message. Goodness sakes, the Beatles had people healed. You remember that? Brother Brown talked about that. Beatles came to America and people were coming out of wheelchairs and dropping their crutches. They're healed. Were they believers? So just because we have supernatural signs and wonders following us and doing all these things does not mean we have Christ. But what is the word for this day? Brother Branham said, the Spirit makes the word to live to the promise. We got to find out what is the promise for the word today, and then we see that living through us, and then that's Christ. Where else are you looking for Christ? What else are we looking for? He said, and when you look at Jesus as a promised word of the hour, then it will be revealed to you. So what are we looking for? That's my question right now. When I want to see Christ and I pray, I want to see more of you, what am I trying to find? What am I looking for? Do I just want to have, like, I want more power? I want to perform miracles? What am I look for, Christ? What do I look for? We pray it all the time. We just want to see more Christ. We talk about it all the time. We want to see more God. We want to see more reflection of Christ. What are you looking for? Just to be a good person? Just to quit doing this sin or that sin and don't have this addiction anymore? Or just be nice to your neighbor? What are we looking for? Can you point in the Bible? Can you look at the message and say, this is what I want to see. This is a promise for this hour. A portion of God's word has been allotted to every generation, all the way from Genesis. God always sends someone. Usually the ecclesiastics have got us so mixed up and tell us in tradition and so forth, as it was at the coming of Jesus, and then God sends a prophet along. The word of the Lord comes to the prophet. He reveals it. They're stoned to death. They're put out. They're kicked out. After he's gone a while, then they build the tomb and say, he was a great man. Welcome to 2019 message believing. Just another prophet came along and he was rejected, but now after he's been gone, we can look back and say, we saw Christ in that man. Exactly what's going on. He said it's just like man. He's always talking about how great God is and what he's done, how what things he's going to do, not seeing the things he's doing right now. He looks at him in history. He looks at him in prophecy. He forgets what he's doing, the same thing right now that he did then. He said that's just man. And you can look back and you see the mighty works that Brother Branham did, the Holy Spirit through the man, and we see that was Christ in that day. Absolutely it was. What good does that do us now if we're not walking in the light for this day? What is the word promised for us today? It's the message of the hour, folks. I was talking to Brother Jim a while back, and he said something that really struck me. He said he was listening to the Brother Branham talk about the Welsh revival, how that some ministers from the United States went over to Wales, and they wanted to look up and investigate about the Welsh revival. And so they went up to the policeman standing on the corner, and he said, sir, could you tell us where the Welsh revival is? He said, you're here. You found it. It's me. He knew that the revival was what God was doing in him. Brother Jim said this. He said, people want to know about the seventh seal? It's here. It's me. It's right here. It's opening. You want to know if it's open or not? There it is. Amen. That's the same thing. We need to get that revelation that the word that was spoken for this day is happening in me. He said, well, Brother Jim, explain that. He couldn't. He could not explain what that actually meant if you asked him. But yet he had that revelation. He recognized through the preaching of the word and the revelation God gave to him that the seventh seal is the opening of the word in this day, and it's producing Christ in the many, many member body. It's exciting. Then tell him the seventh seal ain't open. Why? It's happening to him. And it comes word by word, little by little, here a little, there a little. And the word is happening. You know, I think people think this opening of the seal, like the seventh seal, someone went and just jerked the door open. Wham! The seventh seal is open. That ain't the way God does it. He preaches the word, but that word is a seed, and it gets planted, and it brings forth something Christ in you, a different part of Christ in you, a different part of Christ in you, a different part of Christ in you. And you know what God gives you gifts for? So you can manifest that part of Christ that he wants you to manifest. That's what your gifts are for. Brother Todd, if God didn't call you to preach, for you to come up here and try to manifest Christ through preaching, you're going to mess it up. Absolutely. But if he said, you know what, I want to manifest Christ through a gift that you get us put a site on the internet so people can have access to it, then that's what Christ wants to manifest through you. We all have the gifts that God gives us that he wants us to manifest. David has the best gift of worship that I've ever seen in anybody. And he, like, when he releases it, he manifests Christ to the whole church. That's what we're giving the gifts for, not to try to do someone else's job, not getting in someone else's way, but just to be led by Christ. Oh my goodness, just let Christ lead you. And if he has just a little something for you to do, then that's all he requires. Don't do something else on your own. Sometimes it's too simple. We want a little bigger role to play. It gets people in trouble. But he's going to have a bride. He's getting her. You know what? You know what the characteristic of this bride is? She's obedient. That is so unpopular in today's age. We tell a woman she's supposed to be obedient. Rip your hair off if you have any. The bride is obedient. She loves. She loves to be obedient. It's not a burdensome thing for her because she feels so safe when she's obedient. She feels so protected, so loved, so the relationship with Christ is so strong, or so real. Because he said, believe this, and she said, I believe it. That's obedience. That's all he's asking for. Will you believe what I tell you? I sure will. All the evidence standing against it, you still believe? I sure do. But I could prove it's wrong. Prove away. I know what he told me. That's the battle we face, folks. Any other battle, you're wasting your time. You're completely wasting your effort if you're fighting another battle except just to believe what God said. Every other battle, you are just running a treadmill. Isn't that exciting? He said they live in a shadow of what he was back there and refuse the word going on today. That's the problem with message churches, folks. They're such good people, and they're manifesting such a nice person. And when they look to see Christ, they want to see someone who's living a good, holy life. They want to see someone who's got a testimony. They've been baptized with the Holy Ghost. They want to see someone who believes the same doctrine they do. And that's what they think makes a Christian. That's what they think is Christ. The manifestation of the word, the interpretation of it is the true doctrine. I don't care what you believe or what I believe. When God reveals it by interpreting it and bringing it to pass, that's what you have to recognize. And then recognizing that because you got eyes to see and walking in that light makes you a believer. Nothing else. These message ranks have spent years arguing and fussing about what this doctrine means or what this means. And do you believe it this way? Do you believe it? Let me tell you, you have to believe it the way God gives it to you. You got to believe it the way it's the correct seed. Don't get me wrong. But then don't sit there and fuss and stew if all you have is a doctrine. All they have is a doctrine. Where's the interpretation? Where is it happening? Where is it coming to pass? You want to sit under a ministry that doesn't have any vindication. God hasn't proven the word is happening in their life, but we want to sit under there because they make us happy, because they got a big church, or because they're a popular person. I'll tell you right now, I have a lot of confidence sitting in a pew right there when my pastor's preaching, because I've seen Christ being manifest through his ministry, and it's not something that, it's a hit and miss thing. It's something that God does. That the only way it can be is because he's a born-again vessel too. I ain't worried. I'm going into rapture one day because God ordained it. He's put me here. And I've tried back in the day when Brother Jerry Bell or whoever was here, I thought I need to go someplace else. And John Andy's left. I got to go someplace else. And God said, you're not going anywhere. I know where I need you. God will produce Christ in your life if you will listen for his voice and obey it when he talks to you. Stop trying to establish our own righteousness. If you want to go in the rapture. If you don't, you know, what's important to you? Listen to this. Brother Branham said, it's possible today that good men, fine men, walk with Christ, reading his word, and still don't recognize that this is the hour that certain things of the Bible must be fulfilled. Look at that. They're good men. They walk with Christ. They recognize the Holy Spirit in their midst, and yet they don't recognize what God is doing in this day. He said, it's the hour we're living in. The time is at hand when these things must be done. It's written, and thus it must be fulfilled because God promised it. Yes, our eyes must be open to see the word. In the token he was preaching, he said, let me just see if I can remember how he said it. He said, people say, I know it's true. I believe it's true. But yet I know I don't got it yet. Well, there's Phil Bontrager for about 15 or 20 years or more. I knew the message was true, and I was trying to be a Christian. It wasn't happening. You know the key to that? I said I was trying. There was no faith involved. I didn't know what faith was. I thought faith was just understanding doctrines. Foolishness. You know how I got there? Because lying preachers told me that. Well, they didn't come out and say it that way, but that's what was preached into me. Friends, we got so much to live for. We got so much to believe. We got everything you can desire. But you got to come God's way. Let me get off my subject just a little bit, if you don't mind. Every human being is born with a thirst. And it's a thirst for God. And God's the only person who can actually really fill that desire. It's a loneliness, it's an emptiness, it's a hunger. But now some people are born with the seed of God in them, and it's way stronger because they can't accept a substitute. They try. They try to find this to satisfy and that to satisfy. They run here and there, and you look at people today, and they're going everywhere they can find it, every kind of form of entertainment, every kind of sport, every kind of drug, every kind of sexual behavior, anything they can, money and power and everything. They're trying to satisfy that emptiness in their heart. And most of them find something to substitute. They settle for something. They said, well, you know what? If I have this relationship, I'm going to be happy. If I have this, I'm going to be happy. And this will make me happy. And then you have to have your family. You have to have your kids. You have to have everyone around you. And you can't allow anything to do anything to destroy this, because if it's gone, you're nothing. And how many people can actually sit still and turn off the radio and turn off the TV and turn off the internet and not be on any drugs and just sit there and be? And just let their mind wander and just think and just accept where they're at. You know why they can't? Because it's empty inside. Because the things of the world never did completely fill that place. Although they've done all they could to fill it up and put stuff there to do it. And that's what human nature is, because we don't really believe God will satisfy that. That's the reason we do it. Why do we chase after this pleasure and that pleasure and this thing? Because we don't really believe God will satisfy that place in there the way the things of the world were. Because if we did believe, we would let nothing get in the way. And you know what? You and I, even being born again on a daily basis, we fight with that thing. Because God, the devil will say, hey, listen, this stuff ain't all bad stuff. You know, you can get on YouTube and you see a million things that are amazing, wonderful things, good to know. Any subject you want to study or whatever, good stuff. But then we take our time doing this. We take our time reading. I'm reading a book right now called The History of the Jews, one of the most amazing books. This historian went all the way to the very beginning. He's walking down through the history of the Jews. It's blowing my mind. Sometimes God said, why don't you quit reading that and why don't you read the Bible for a while? There's nothing wrong with these things. And we're supposed to enjoy life. We're supposed to use the things of the world to enjoy life. But make sure that emptiness inside is filled with Christ, not with something else. And not with religion. Brother Todd and I were just in the basement talking about what it must be like to be in hell. I said, I think the people going to have it worse are the preachers. Because they deceive the people. I'd rather be Hitler than be a deceiving preacher that took people to hell with them because they preached lies. God will satisfy. And then Brother Branham said, what did he say? He said, lying and stealing. He said, that's not sin. That's the attributes of sin, right? The sin was you didn't believe God to begin with. You didn't believe God would give you a greater comfort than what you could get from the world. That's the sin. That's the unbelief. Unbelief is the sin. I don't believe. You want to God say, you know, God, your word says you will satisfy me more than anything in the world, but I don't really believe you. So I'm going to go and do this that I know is wrong because I think I get a greater comfort out of that than what you could give me. That's the core of what of why we do the things we do that are wrong is because we don't really believe God's got a better way. But he does. There's a couple of us in here who can give you personal testimony. We tried the things of the world. We lived in misery. Pleasure for a season. You wake up and you look around and you know an emptiness. And you know a burden and you know a loneliness. It's more than you can take. And you got to find something else. Thank God for that seed. Because if it wouldn't have been there, where would I be right now? God's a good God all the time. All the time. He said, look to me. You said, well, I've done that. How many people have that excuse? I've heard it. I just can't live a message life. I just can't live good enough. I just can't do this. Well, what were you looking at? You're looking at some fantasy of a perfectly sinless human being that you tried to accomplish. And when you couldn't do it, you got disappointed and you got discouraged in your own abilities. Well, I just can't do this. Well, no kidding, we can't do that. If we could do it, then Jesus Christ didn't have to go to Calvary. What are you looking for? He said, it depends on what you look at. What you look at is where and what you look for him for. What are you looking for? What purpose do you have in looking at him? What are you looking at him for? Why are you seeking for Christ? What is the purpose of your life? What are you living for? He said, it only depends what you look for. That's what you find. Because if you want to find some substitute Christianity, some substitute Christ, Satan will provide it for you. You want to find some substitute that you can be your own self and live the life you want and still be a Christian? There's a million churches out there. Go find one. It's out there, folks. Satan will give you anything you want. You can be a message believer, and Satan will give you any message belief you want. Absolutely. Are you willing to go to the house of correction? Now, he won't provide you with that. No, he'll find a better way. You don't need to listen to that. You don't need that so much. Here, let me give you something else that you are going to enjoy a little bit more. We all know what it is to sit in the house of correction. If you sit under Brother Jerry's ministry for very long, aren't you thankful? Boy, I am. He said, it depends on what you're looking for. That's what you find. Let me skip down a little bit just to save time. He said, that's the very reason that Jesus was not understood when he came to earth. If they would have only looked into the Word of God instead of their tradition of that day, they would have known he was the Son of God. Because the Bible plainly declared his full coming, and he come in full revelation of the Word. Each generation reveals him in the full revelation that's allotted for that time. Let me say that again. Each generation reveals him in the full revelation that's allotted for that time. Now here we are at the end time. The final bride without spot or wrinkle. What do you suppose the full revelation is going to look like? Well, it must be we're going to be mighty people. We're going to be mighty people of God. We're going to walk around speaking this into existence. We're going to speak the rain away. And we're going to be just walking through the street and we're just healing this person. And we're going to be healing. Oh, my goodness. What kind of fantasy are you living in? You're going to know what it's going to look like? Look in the mirror. That's what she looks like. That's where we're at. He said, well, I'm not there yet. Well, praise God. At least you recognize it. We're still moving forward. And we're going to come to a time when these things, it's going to be more manifest in our lives. It will.
And all he's looking for is a bride who will just humble herself now and let him prepare her. Brother Brandon likened it to Romeo and Juliet. He said, Romeo came at night and stole her away. Can you imagine? Juliet's up in bed, and she just can't do anything but dream about Romeo. She hears a little, like a rock or something hit her window and wakes her up. She goes to the window. She looks out and says, Romeo, what are you doing? You got to get out of here. My family will kill you. He said, I brought a ladder. Climb down. She said, do we dare? Can we do this? He said, we'll go get married. I already got it prepared. She said, well, I got my wedding dress ready. She hops out the window. She goes down the ladder, and they're off and gone, and the family's still just sleeping away. I'm a message believer. Everything is fine. Waiting for the rapture. And it's already happened. You recognize that if you are sitting tonight and you are a born-again child of God, the rapture has already happened for you. You're already in the process. The last thing to happen in the rapture is this body gets changed. But it's already started. We've been called up out of Laodicea. We've been called out of this Laodicean mess that we call the message believers. Just another denomination. That's all it is. That's all it is. You say, Phil, that's really hardcore. How can you say that? There's some wonderful people. They're so sincere. You know better than that. They're sincerely wrong, because if they are not manifesting the word for this day, they're missing it. And so are you and I if we're not manifesting the word for this day. And all God's looking for is, you know why he's putting us through the things we're going through, folks? Is to get a more surrendered person out of it. That's all he's looking for. I just want you to surrender. I don't understand this. I don't either. But he wants a more surrendered person. But what about this? And what about, I don't either. I don't know. He just wants me to be surrendered and let him fix it. That's all he's looking for. And he's got a bride who's saying, okay, fix it. Because she's already snuck away. She's gone. Shh, it's a secret. Amen. God bless you. Let's stand.